I'm Netta, and this is Real Netta, Pieces of My Heart. Let's spend just a few minutes together talking about some helpful concepts that I've gathered in little bits and pieces over the years from my life experiences, from reading God's Word, spending time with Jesus, and just growing and learning very often the hard way. Hopefully you'll walk away with some little tidbits of useful encouragement that you can apply to your life right now. So here are the little pieces for today. Somewhere in the depths of my parents' old photo albums, which are now residing in my brother's basement. Oh, bless his heart, he has had to do so much work regarding that. But thank you, Lynn. Somewhere down there, there is a photo of me in, I don't know, elementary school. I don't know what grade. With a hideous haircut, for one. My mom chopped off my shoulder-length bob into a shag, which it was the 70s, and that was the style. It did not look flattering on me, and I had these snaggle-tooth grin, you know, when you lose some of your teeth, and some of them are growing in, and they're big, and but that's not the point. The picture is of me vacuuming our green, like avocado green carpet in our living room. And I have the most horrendous, angry look on my face. And my eyes are swollen because I'd been crying. I got punished. I don't remember the whole story except that I was supposed to vacuum and I didn't, or I threw a fit about it. I'm not sure which. And I got in trouble. And then, of course, I still had to vacuum. So I was so angry and so upset and vacuuming for all the wrong reasons because I didn't want to get punished. And I don't know, my mom took a picture of me, which that really wasn't that normal back then. Now we take pictures of every moment of our lives. But back then we didn't because you had to actually get that film processed. But for whatever reason, it stuck with my mom and she took a picture. And I guess it's a funny story. But that is such an example of somebody that's doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. Now, very often I say that we need to live by what seems to be the opposite of that, and that is do what is right no matter how you feel. And I stand by that. If our heart loves and wants to do what's right, then we do it. But this is backing it up a little bit further. In that photo, I did not care. I don't think I gave a rip about my love for my mom. I didn't care. I didn't want to vacuum, and apparently threw a big fit and was quite a sight to behold. So, angrily vacuuming is an example of following the good girl rules because it was going to keep me out of further punishment, but my heart was angry and my heart didn't care. So let's look at Romans chapter 2, verse 29, since we are in Romans. So 2:29 says this. So this is Paul, and he's talking about how following religious rules, like with the Jewish culture at this point, does not make you right with God, but it's a matter of the heart. And so in verse 29, he says, no, a true Jew, in other words, somebody who's truly right with God, is just somebody whose heart is right with God. Okay, so it says, no, a true Jew is one whose right heart is right with God. And it says, and a changed heart is produced by the Spirit. Okay, a changed heart is what God does in us. So that is where our desire to do the right thing comes from. So you see, I've got two scenarios here because yes, we want to do what's right regardless of how we feel, but we want that to come out of a good heart. So as a little young shag-headed vacuumer, if I would have allowed my heart to remember how much I loved my mom and how thankful I was to live there, then maybe I could have vacuumed out of the love of my heart from my heart rather than being afraid of punishment. I hope that makes sense because there's a lot of things we have to do as people who love Jesus that are not comfortable for us, but we do them anyway because our heart is full of love. Now, let's look at the second part of that. So when it says, a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. So let's go back to the vacuuming. If my mom would have said, hey, your friends are coming over and I've invited them all and you're going to have a great time, but you've got to vacuum first. Oh my gosh. Okay. That would have changed everything, right? Because I would want my friends over. I want it to make me look good. I want to have something good for myself. So I would be doing the right thing, vacuuming, but I would be doing it for selfish reasons. But this says a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. Oh, the changed heart says, Lord, I am going to do what you ask me to do, even if no one sees, even if I don't like it, even if it's hard, even if I don't understand why, even if I quite honestly don't think it's fair, which we shouldn't compare, but let's be honest, we do. And sometimes we can get really frustrated and angry with God, but our love and respect and fear of him has to get beyond those feelings where we go, I'll do what you want me to do, not because I'm earning your love. I already have that. But because I love you, it's out of my gratefulness and my thankfulness to you. Now, if we hop back more towards the beginning of Romans chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it says, but there will be glory and honor and peace from God for those who do good. Okay, let's stop right there. Glory, honor, and peace for those who do good. Now, again, we're not earning the glory and honor and peace, but it means because we're focusing on God who is good, we're doing it out of our love for him. He rewards us with glory and honor and peace. Now, the glory and the honor, we can't put stipulations on that. It might be on earth. It might not be until heaven, which is hard for us to swallow. But he says he will give it to those who do good. That comes from that true changed heart. The second part of that verse says, God does not show favoritism. And again, he's referring to the Jews and the Gentiles going, look, that doesn't matter anymore. It's not about following the rules or where you were born or how you were raised. It is about your heart for God, because God doesn't show favoritism. This morning, I was thinking about favoritism. And I hadn't really thought of this originally when I read and planned for this podcast. But when we show favoritism, meaning... let me give you an example. So if we're in a situation and there are some people that we are uncomfortable with, we don't know their background, we're uncomfortable with their background, we're different than them maybe, they're super needy according to our scale of neediness, and we choose rather to ignore that and go hang out with the people or chat with the people that we already know and we're friends with and they think we're awesome, right? If we do that kind of favoritism, that means we are choosing praise from people, not from God. Because those who truly need us to show God's love to them and an unfavoritism heart. I don't know if that's a word in that context. But oftentimes the people that need our attention and love the most are the ones that cannot do anything to reciprocate. They can't give back. They're not going to go around announcing how awesome we are. And nobody's going to know. And that's hard for us sometimes. That's hard for us to swallow. We want people to know we're awesome. And when we choose favoritism, we're choosing praise from people rather than praise from God for loving those who maybe are hard to love. The second thing that happens when we show favoritism is we're just choosing comfort. We are choosing what is easy. It's easy to talk to the people we already know. It's easy to do the stuff we've always done. It's easy to do something that people are going to notice rather than choosing the uncomfortable. Oh, and uncomfortable is just so uncomfortable. It's not fun. It's challenging and it puts us out there and it makes us unseen and unnoticed sometimes. But that's what a changed heart does. And the third thing I thought of this morning is when we show favoritism, that ultimately favoritism is just doing things for ourselves. being very selfish, which is the opposite of God, which really means we have a lack of faith in Him. If I feel like I need to do things so other people notice me and see me and tell me I'm awesome, rather than trust God for that approval and that love and kindness and what does He say? Glory, honor, and peace. Then I must not trust Him to fulfill those needs. I need to find that in other people. That's icky. Showing favoritism, looking for the easy way out, looking for the way to maybe connive my brother into vacuuming so I don't have to, or doing it only if my friends are coming over because then I'll get my way and that's easiest. You see, loving God and serving other people comes from a changed heart. And that has to be changed, at least mine, on a daily, sometimes moment by moment process. Moment by moment, I have to go, oh, Lord, that was an icky thought or that was a yucky attitude. Please forgive me. I love You so much. And then when He asks me to do the uncomfortable, to do what I don't find easy, I can do it. Even if I don't feel like it, I can do it out of a changed heart of love because He first loved me. So pick up that vacuum or go talk to that person or do whatever uncomfortable thing God is asking you to do because He loves you and you love Him back. And that is just a little piece of my heart.